Thank you so much for choosing, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Because for Nevis and I, that has been our theme. That's been so important to us that all of our family knows the Lord and walks with God. And so tonight I'm very thankful to the Lord. The Bible says that it's okay to boast in the Lord. And so I'm very grateful to God tonight that our two children are in church today with their spouses. Our five grandchildren are in church today with their parents. And my wife is here tonight in church with me. Hallelujah. And I'm glad you've come to join us tonight as we look in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come after you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elijah left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God tonight and for the impact that it has on our lives. We thank you for your love and for your grace and mercy to us. We thank you for this beautiful day in which we've been able to serve you. And we pray, Lord, that you will take this portion of your word tonight and bless it to our hearts. We pray it'll be useful, helpful in our walk with God and in our relationship with Jesus. We commit ourselves to you. In your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. The title of my message is the theme of my message. It is the message that I would like to leave with you. If for some reason we had to vacate the building tonight, I trust that this message will go with you and that it will be a comfort and encouragement to you. We are important to God. Let's say it together. We are important to God. They say the hardest instrument to play in the orchestra is second fiddle. Just think of it with me tonight. The orchestra plays an amazing concert and everyone begins to applaud. The conductor takes his bow and then points to the first violin. And again, everyone claps their hands. No one applauds the second violin. And yet without the second violin, there may not be a first or a third. When all is said and done, every instrument playing in the orchestra is important. Everyone has their part to play. It takes two or more to harmonize. It takes two to make a friendship. Two, to make a marriage. Two or more, to build a family. And all kinds of us, to make a local church. Every one of us has a place in God's kingdom. Every one of us belongs in God's family. That's where we belong. And we are important to God. If you're not convinced, let me remind you that the Bible says God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus left heaven and he came down into this world. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. flesh and blood child like us, and yet without any sin. He preached the good news of the kingdom of God. He shed his own precious blood, and he suffered and died on the cross for sinners like you and for me, because we are important to God. He preached the good news of the kingdom, and then he purchased our salvation from sin. He redeemed us with his own precious blood, and he washed us, and he cleansed us from our sin. He forgave the entire debt of our sin, and he set us free from the bondage of sin and death, because we are important to God. How many are glad tonight that you and I, that together we are important to God? When we repent of our sins and when we confess our sins to God, receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we're born again by the Spirit of God. And at that moment, we become the children of God. We become members of the body of Christ, the church. Do you know how much God loves you tonight? Because he does. He wants you. He wants me. He wants us to belong to him. Because we are important to God. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 that the body of Christ, the church, is a unit. It's made up of many parts. And even though each one of us are unique individuals, how many know that's true? How many appreciate that about the body of Christ tonight? Unique individuals with different gifts, talents, interests, abilities, and life story. We have all so much to bring to the table tonight, to the family of God. And we're all important to God. How many are getting the message? Maybe you're the first violin, and everyone notices you. And you're appreciated, you're loved, and admired, and people applaud you. Maybe you feel like you're second fiddle, that you come to church that nobody notices. Nobody high-fives you. Nevertheless, we are important to God. It's true. Do you believe it? Elijah the prophet was definitely first violin. He was a success in ministry. He did what God gifted and called him to do. However, every one of us come with a best before date, stamped somewhere on the inside. Elijah's ministry was coming to an end. It was time to give over the baton to the next generation of leadership. To the next in line. The Bible tells us that in every generation, God has his prophets. He has men and women who are a witness, a spokesperson for his name. 3,000 years ago, God spoke to this man of the hour. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and they put the prophets to death with the sword. It's a pathetic scene. And I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And if you read between the lines, woe is me. In other words, the spiritual and the moral state of the nation is bad, to say the least. Even God's point man was in despair. How would you rate the spiritual condition, the moral condition of Canada today? Do you feel like you're the only one who has faith in God? The only one who believes the Bible? The only one who's walking with God and has faith? The only one who's living a godly lifestyle? Are you concerned for your children, for your grandchildren, for the new generation, pastoral leadership in the church? Are you like Elijah, ready to throw your hands in the air and then just cry out, oh God, help us? Maybe we're like Elijah and need to be reminded once again that we are important to God. And God isn't finished with us yet. He's not finished with this country. No matter how things may look on the evening news, somebody say, praise the Lord. The Lord said to Elijah, go back the way you came. Elijah, you still got a job to do. Finish the work that I've called you to do. You know, we can get ourselves into such a tizzy worrying about everything that we lose focus on what God has called us to do. I just finished reading part of Mark Batterson's testimony. He thought that God had called him to plant a new church in Chicago. And he was so excited. So the thing fell apart before it hardly got started. But he chose not to give up because Mark believes that we are important to God. And through a series of events, Mark went to Washington, D.C., and he tried again. And he started with a Bible study. And after a lot of hard work and prayer and fasting, this small Bible study group began to grow and church services were started up and miracles started happening. And the church grew and grew and people were saved and they were healed and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and new believers were baptized in water. And all kinds of evangelistic ministries began to explode. And God provided places of worship in one of the highest rent districts in the world. Hundreds of people became thousands of people who discovered that we are all important to God. God spoke to Elijah and he said, go and anoint a new king and anoint Elisha to succeed you as a prophet. Now get this, in verse 18, God said, yet I have 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and all whose mouths have not kissed him. In time of greatest apostasy, of degeneracy and unbelief, God has always had and always will have a remnant of faithful people who will serve him, who will declare his name, who will live for him, who will do what he has called and anointed them to do. Faithful men and women who maintain their integrity, who keep the faith, who wait upon God and do what he's called them to do. Last year, when Franklin Graham came to Vancouver to speak at a Festival of Hope, How many remember that? Mayor Gregor Roberts tried to do everything that he could to shut it down. When Nevis and I arrived that first night, 2 hours early to serve as counselor supervisors, we wondered who else would show up. And we were delighted to see a huge crowd of people lined up all around that building. In fact, it seemed like it was almost impossible for us to get in early to do our job. Most of the crowd were not mature, middle-aged white men like me. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a middle-aged white man. Because we're all important to God. Most of the crowd were youth and young adults 13 to 35 years of age. Asian, South Asian, black, brown, and white. It was wonderful. It was awe-inspiring, and at first glance, Nevis and I knew that we were in for a wonderful evening, and it was. The musicians and the worship leaders led us in anointed praise. Franklin preached the gospel, and hundreds of people came to Christ those three nights. We praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost every time I think about it. In spite of all the political correctness and a constant barrage in the media, God still loves us. Christ died for us, he was buried, and he rose again triumphant the third day, and he's able to save sinners today because we are important to God. Now we get to the message. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Verse 19, so Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. You know that Elijah. And he was plowing with 12 oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Sounds like some kind of homestead, don't you think? Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Almost 48 years ago to the date, God laid his hand on an 18-year-old kid from Kelowna. He was a Sunday school boy. He was raised in church. He was an altar boy, and he served as a crucifer. He sang in the church choir, and he taught Sunday school. He believed in God, and he was a good boy. That's as far as everybody knew. He was religious, but lost. How many know that you can go to church every Sunday and even take communion and not know Jesus? You can know about him, you can believe in him, but not know him personally. It's possible. But on March 21st, 1970, he heard the simple gospel of personal salvation at an interchurch youth leaders meeting at Evangel Church in Kelowna. And the Holy Ghost moved in convicting power, and that young man began to realize that he was a sinner who needed Jesus. God called him out. And I ask you tonight, has God called you out? That young man learned a lesson that night, that we are important to God. He repented of his sins. He received Jesus Christ as his Savior, and the Holy Spirit came, and he was born again. At the same time, across town, God was moving by his Spirit on the heart of a beautiful young Italian girl. She too was religious, but lost. But she had a heart for God. And God called her out. You may have guessed that that young woman was the young man's girlfriend. And when the young man shared his experience, the young woman said, "I believe." And she too discovered that we are important to God. A year later, the young man was called to pastoral ministry and enrolled in Bible college. 2 years later, the couple were married. 3 years later, they began 40 plus years of pastoral ministry. God knows who his people are, and he calls them out to follow him. And my friends tonight, in hearing the gospel, to hearing the good news about Jesus Christ, you too are being called out to come to Christ, to trust him as your Savior, and to serve him for the rest of your life. Nevis and I question every so often, why, Jesus? Why did you call us out? But we're so glad you did. Matthew Henry wrote, "When we get to heaven, we'll miss a great many people we thought we would be there, and we'll meet a great many people we never expected would be there." God knows. All we have to do is be faithful. Mark Batterson wrote, "I live for the applause of the nail-scarred hands." I like that, because more than anything, what I want to hear Jesus say is, "Well done." The call of Elisha was an unexpected, it was a surprising call. Elijah found Elisha out on the farm plowing a field. Elisha wasn't in church. He wasn't on his knees praying. He wasn't in the synagogue reading the Word of God. He was at work. An honest job, whatever it is, a farmer like Elisha, a carpenter like Joseph, a fisherman like Peter, a doctor like Luke, or a religious leader like Paul, will never keep us from the heavenly calling of serving the Lord. You may feel like you're second fiddle, but the truth is, we are all important to God. And God wants to use you to reach people for him. When Elijah threw his mantle around Elisha, it meant three things. First of all, Elijah would become Elisha's mentor. And one of the greatest privileges that you and I have as we walk with God through the years is to come alongside younger men and women and mentor them. Teach them from the scriptures and encourage them and pray with them and help them to grow in their faith and help them to walk with God. And then second, Elijah would pay for Elisha's tuition until school is out. I'm so glad for the men and women who invested in my ministry. And then third, Elisha would be clothed in the same Holy Spirit that anointed Elijah. Look at Elisha's response. And maybe you'd like to underline it in your Bible. Immediately, he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. Now, that doesn't mean you have to quit your job to become an active Christian. You can serve the Lord and be a witness for Christ in any honorable profession. Somebody say, amen. Even if it's playing second fiddle. Because we are important to God. I don't need a doctor to fix my car. I need a mechanic. How many know that a good one is worth a lot? I don't need a carpenter to build a bridge in my dental work. I need a dentist. When God calls you, don't hesitate. Trust Him. Obey Him. Follow Him. An invisible hand reached down and touched Elisha's heart that day. And immediately he surrendered to God's call. It took me 2 years from the time I first heard the gospel, the good news about personal relationship with Jesus Christ, to repent and be saved. Some of us are a little more stubborn than others. And then I discovered, on the average, it takes 13 tellings of the gospel before a person surrenders to Christ. So don't give up on your family and friends. Keep on being faithful. Keep on sharing the good news about Christ. They need to know that we are important to God. Elisha made a request to let his parents know what he was doing. And wisely, Elijah didn't force him or take him against his will. Because family are important. Nevis and I are so grateful tonight that neither of our families resisted our call to follow Jesus. They didn't understand it, but they were proud of us and supported our call to ministry. Many new believers were not as fortunate as we are. Some have been ridiculed and persecuted, some disowned by their families, some threatened and beaten, and even others killed. But once we met Jesus and we discovered that we are important to God, we want to follow Him no matter what. How many have said at least once in your life, Jesus, I want to follow You no matter what? How many have continued to follow Jesus when you've experienced the no matter what? Elisha had to count the cost and make his own decision to follow God's call. So the Bible tells us that Elisha hosted a farewell dinner. No doubt he used the occasion of a barbecue to witness God's grace so that his family could know that we are important to God. Sometimes it's difficult to leave family and friends and go to Bible college, get out into ministry. You may end up north in McBride or across the seas, Salt Spring Island. Maybe down the road to Oliver or Fort Langley or Hope. And it may be in the beautiful city of Surrey. Elisha counted the cost, and then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. The Bible tells us that Elisha, Mr. Second Fiddle, went on to build an impressive resume. And I was impressed as I read it through from the scriptures. First of all, he ministered to Elijah and served as an associate minister, all the while learning the ropes of ministry. Second, when Elijah was translated to heaven, Elisha asked for and he received a double portion of the Holy Ghost. Third, when he started his ministry, he confronted the king and he worked to restore justice in the land. How many know it takes something to speak to the government? How many know the government needs a witness as well? He anointed a new king to serve God's people Israel. And then under his hands of faithful ministry, the Bible records a phenomenal list of miracles, including the healing of General Naaman, the leper, the raising of the dead. And he was a prophet to the nation. And then number 7, not only did he speak to the high and the mighty in the land, but he cared for the widows and the orphans. He ministered to the movers and the shakers, the rich and the famous. And the poor and the marginalized. And we honor his memory tonight because he's a great reminder that we are all important to God. Who knows where God will lead you and I? And what he'll be able to do in us and through us. But one thing is for sure, it's true this very moment. And it will be forever and ever. We are all important to God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for your great love to us. We thank you, Lord, that you care for each one. You know us all by name. And you love us individually and as a body. We thank you, Jesus, that you have called us out to serve you. We thank you for the privilege of a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And this we value most precious of all. And then, Lord, we thank you that you fill us with your Spirit and you enable us and teach us and train us and prepare us. And you use us in our place, in our family, among our friends, in our workplace, in our community, in our world, to be your witness. And we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful truth that's an encouragement to us time and time again, that we too are important to God. Lord, I pray for the person tonight who feels that they're not important, but that this message has struck home to their hearts tonight. May it be refreshing and encouraging to them. May they walk from this place like us, and say, it's been good to meet with the Lord. Good to be reassured of who I am and where I belong. As we look to God in prayer tonight, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, we encourage you to do that. This is a wonderful time to look to the Lord, to put your faith and trust in Jesus, to receive Him as your Savior and Lord. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a great time to be filled with the Spirit as Elisha and Elijah the prophet were. And if God has placed someone on your heart that you need to be a witness to, whether in your workplace or in your family or in your neighborhood, may God bless you and encourage you to be a witness for Him. This we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and everyone said, Amen.